Direct from Music City, this is the Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
Our daddy had a cow named Strychnine, and the evening milking job was mine. I've traveled the world, did a lot of scene, but I never met a cow so poison mean as Strychnine. That cow would see me with a bucket and stool. Black cow's religion was the bovine rule. Before you give him milk, you gotta give him, well, you get the idea, and she did it well, Strychnine. I'll try to take a milk, and she take a little turn. That's just one of the many dances she learned. She started a little left and go, said, go, kick that bucket, and away she goes, Strychnine. At other times, she made me think she'd changed her way, while all the while devising evil plans as she grazed. With the speed of an arrow and cat-like grace, she'd whip that tail across my face, Strychnine. Sometimes she'd lift the milk at your side, almost down to tripping time. But just when I thought I had her tamed, that cow would remind me, what's her name, Strychnine? I think I learned about what my daddy calls character. I think it's rather odd that when I left home for my first job there, that old cow jumped and died mysteriously. Her daddy had a cow named Strychnine, and the evening milking job was mine. I've traveled the world, there's a lot I've seen, but I never met a cow so hard to mean, Strychnine.
Tennessee. I'm your host, Gary Holt. That is my better half, Mary Kay, with her great song, Strychnine, to kick things off. It is a warm, hot, humid day in Nashville, Tennessee, with temperatures hitting 102 degrees. The third day in the row, we've been over 100, and we have a hot, hot show for you today on the Campfire Cafe. We'll be joined on the Campfire Cafe by the Outlaw Firm, and first time for the three of these guys to be on the show, but we look forward to talking with them and sharing some great music from their self-titled album. And then in the second half of the show on Saddle Up America, we're going to be traveling to the Cumberland Plateau in East Tennessee to visit with a great horse camp right there in East Tennessee on Saddle Up America. But right now, we're going to be taking a minute break. We're going to listen to a couple of things, and then we'll come back and talk with the Outlaw Firm today on the Campfire Cafe. This is Gary Holt inviting you to find our great sponsors on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Those are the sponsors you'll find in the general store, our Legacy Select, Horse Campgrounds and Guest Ranches, east of Santa Fe, and our Legacy Select Equestrian Properties. You'll find all of these sponsors on our website at equestrianlegacy.net.
face, arm in arm. Sometimes you win first place, when the third time's a charm. So when I finally found your love, I understood. Yeah, I'd rather be lucky than good. Skill is overrated when the stars align. Souls get traded when they're short on time. Got the better of my devil when no one thought I could. Yeah, I'd rather be lucky than good.
Equestrian Legacy Radio Network, we are going to welcome to the show the Outlaw Firm. And I just first learned about these guys when I had Mike Blakely on the show several months ago, and he sent me some of the music, and I listened to it, and I thought, man, these guys are good. Got to get them on the show. So please welcome Mike Blakely, John M. Greenberg, and John Arthur Martinez to the Campfire Cafe. Hi, guys.
Howdy.
Woo-hoo. Hey, Gary Holt.
How are you guys doing today?
Well, much better.
All right. So you guys in three different locations calling in, and none of us can see each other. So it's kind of interesting to see how this conversation is going to go with four guys on the phone. It could be worse, though. It could be four women that were on the phone. I didn't say that, but
ouch.
Just saying. I could get in trouble for that one. But anyway. So I got really tickled when I read how the name came about, the Outlaw Firm, because somebody said Blakely, Greenberg, and Martinez sounded like a law firm. So John Greenberg, you came up with the name, the Outlaw Firm. How did that happen?
Well, actually, John Arthur was the one who kind of said, you know, Blakely, Greenberg, Martinez, and we put it in alphabetical order, I suppose. He said it sounded like a law firm, and I just said,
okay.
Well, how about the Outlaw Firm? And he went, ooh, okay, and then there we went. Off we ran.
I like it.
I was a little more specific. I said we sounded like a San Antonio law firm.
Ha, ha, ha. Gosh. Well, how did you guys meet, John Arthur? How did the three of you guys meet to begin with?
Mike Blakely and I were introduced first by a Country Music Association Hall of Fame member who had retired in my hometown of Marble Falls, Texas. His name is Floyd Tillman, and Mike had done a feature for him on Texas Highways, and I was hosting the event. I was co-hosting the event, Floyd Tillman's Picking in the Park with Floyd. And Floyd said, I want you two guys to meet. So we were introduced by a CMA legend.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. And how did Mr. John M. get involved?
You could take this one.
Well, a few years after John Arthur and I started working together, John Greenberg moved to town being Marble Falls area in Texas, central Texas. He moved down from Oklahoma just to check out the music scene. And we were introduced by a great friend of ours and a record producer and one of the best guitar players in Texas and therefore the world, Mr. Larry Nye. He introduced John Greenberg to me and to John Arthur Martinez, and we all started working together just whenever we could in private shows or you know, John Arthur's band or my band or John Greenberg's band, whatever. We would all sit in with each other. And a couple of years ago, we thought, why don't we just make this official and have an official trio? We came up with the Outlaw Firm, and that's how we all got here.
That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Well, we want to talk a little bit about how each of you got into music. I know Mike, again, has been a guest on the show several times. Always great to have him with us. But we'll want to find out a little bit more about the two Johns as we come back. But I want to get to another song right now, and this is The Pool Hall. So who wrote this song?
I did. Don't hold that against me.
Okay.
That's John Arthur Martinez.
So tell us about The Pool Hall. Yeah.
Well,
tell us about The Pool Hall.
I grew up in Round Mountain, Texas, outside of Marble Falls, out in the country rural ranching community that had peaches and ranches and pool halls. And this song is about one of those pool halls.
All right, well, let's take a listen to The Pool Hall, and we'll be back in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
I want y'all to listen to this modern-day fable set in Round Mountain, Texas. Walked to the store to buy a loaf of bread. Few feet from the door, and I ran in my cousin Fred. He said, hey, Johnny, I'm going down to shoot a game of pool. Easy bread waiting for a working man like you down at the pool hall. Down at the pool hall. They're shooting nine balls down at the pool hall. Well, now if you need some easy bread, stick with old Fred down at the pool hall. You put the nine ball in the socket and you're rolling in the dough. Your baby, she can't knock it. She keeps buying more and more. In an hour when you leave, boy, you can buy your grocery goods. If you're man enough, I'll show you how to turn cane into good down at the pool hall. Down at the pool hall. Thank you. some more. And if I had a shot, I called it, I was rolling in the dough. But I wish that I had sense enough to walk away right then. Shots got tough on me and Fred, we wound up 4-10 down at the pool hall.
Takes me back to my growing up days where it wasn't peaches, but we had tobacco and pool halls. And Donnie's Pool Hall in downtown Hartsville, Tennessee. Population in the county of 3,000 back then. So, great song. Great song.
Thank you.
Great, great song. You're welcome. Well, John Arthur, when did you start into music?
Well, I've been doing this quite a while. I started playing the college bars in San Marcos between Austin and San Antonio in 1983 because I had a whole year where I only needed one class to graduate and there was no way around it. So I just played several gigs a week and waited that following year for that one class to graduate. And that's how I got kind of got going professionally. My dad was
Who were your influences?
My dad was a drummer with a band called the Texas Drovers, and they're known for the fact that they were the backing band for this guy named Baltimore Huerta. I don't know if that name rings a bell to your listeners. Well, wait a minute. This name might. Freddie Fender was his stage name.
Yeah, and I think that does.
Freddie didn't have a backing band when he had those two number ones. They were all caught off guard by his success. And so in the Austin, Central Texas area, they would hire the Texas Drovers to back him up. And so that was definitely a big influence. My dad and my aunt and uncle singing their harmonies and my mom's Hank Williams playing in the back, and my dad had the country station KVET in Austin on at all times, and KOKE on at other times, and so anyway, that was how I kind of got into it.
Interesting. It's always fun to find out how people get started and what kind of influences they had, and we're going to find out a little bit about John M's background and influences when he started in music in just a minute. But I want to get to another song. We want to get several songs in here while we can today. And this was an interesting title, Porta Song. So is this like carrying a song? Who wrote this one?
Are you looking at the right record?
Yeah, what's the name of the song?
says port a song. That was what it was on there.
Port a song.
How about
port
I play it and then?
No, I got
called the port.
Yeah, port a song.
Port a short, it's short for Port Aransas, but everyone in Texas calls Port Aransas Beach Port A. I'm sorry, I thought you said cortisol.
That's what I thought. No.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's that southern accent. That's that southern accent,
yeah,
coming
port
through from
a
Nashville. Yes. Yeah. Port A song. Yeah. So tell us about
John
Port A song.
Well, I'll try to make it as short as possible. We have a songwriter buddy named Jeff Wildhorse Posey, who's a really great Western songwriter. He traipses over into country and folk and everything, and he's won some awards, really known for his lyrics. And he was coming down to the Hill Country to play a gig, and he will hire either me or Mike or both to play back him up, his backup band. And I had my feet in sand in Port Aransas, Texas that day. And I said, no way, Jose, I'm in Port A today. And I go, oh, wait a minute, I got to go and write that down. And there it sat for about 3 years until John Arthur Martinez said, hey, I'm writing a Port A song. I said, perfect, I got one I got to finish. And then it ended up becoming two different songs. But long story short, that's where that came from.
All right, well, let's take a listen. And I'll try to say this to where it's understandable. Port A song. All right, we'll be back in just a moment on the camera.
No way, Jose, I'm in Port A today. I ain't taking your call. Got my toes in the sand, a cold beer in my hand. And no worries at all. Whatever you have to say, you can keep it safe. Cause we're having a ball. Sorry, I've got a goal, Joe, and put this phone away. Hanging up, hanging out. Port A Causeway. I'm a lost cause come Friday. Leave the work week behind me, where the world can't find me. Time to unplug this phone. It won't leave me alone. I ain't taking the bait. Yeah, I'm sure it can wait. Every time island time wins the day. No way, Jose, I'm in Port A today. I ain't taking your call. Got my toes in the sand, a cold beer in my hand. And no worries at all. Whatever you have to say, you can keep it safe. Cause we're having a ball. Sorry, I gotta go, Joe, and put this phone away. Hanging up, hanging out in Port A. Brought my phone to these sand dunes so I can listen to my iTunes. Put my ringer on silent to hear the sound of the island. Like the gulls in the air, the wind in what's left of my hair. And those tugboat whales may be miles away, but they're a hell of a lot closer than Monday. Alone. I don't need to tell time. I can tell day from night. But that caller ID keeps on flashing at me. Take my phone and my frown, turn them both upside down. Guess it ain't as smart as yours today. No way, Jose, I'm in Port A today. I ain't taking your call. Got my lady beside me, she's there to remind me. Got no worries at all. Whatever you have to say, you can keep it at bay. Yeah, we're having a ball. Sorry, I gotta go, Joe, and put this phone away. Hanging up, hanging out in Port A. Hanging up.
I was feeling Jimmy Buffett all over that song. Great, great song. Great, great song. Great song.
Thank you.
So we're listening to music from the Outlaw Firm, and it is from the album The Outlaw Firm, and we'll find out more about how you can get that in just a minute. But John Greenberg, how did you get started in music?
I started when I'm the youngest of the group. I'm only in my mid-50s, if you can call that young. But, you know, I grew up in Oklahoma City, and my folks were really into music. My parents always had something on the turntable, everything from, like, ABBA to Elton John to, I mean, I remember listening to Heart Like a Wheel when I was just a little kid, and Helen Reddy.
Oh, wow.
With Delta Dawn, of course, which she covered by. So I was always listening to rock, but a lot of the songs were written by some really great country writers, which I kind of connected the dots when I was much older. So, you know, our household was always full of food and music, and started playing in bands, you know, making money in high school, playing guitar and singing backup, and then finally put out my first record after college when I was about 27 years old, which I recorded down here in Texas, and that's about the time I met John and Mike and Larry Nye and all those great players down here. And the Hill Country is just a great a bastion of country music and great pickers and singers and songwriters, and I just felt right at home down here. And so that's how that happened. And I get out to Nashville some. In fact, my brother and I have a restaurant out there called Punk Walk in Sylvan Park. So I'm out there on occasion.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, food and music, man. That's all we did growing up. And later when I got a little older, wine.
Well, I love
both of
those.
That's why I live in wine country.
Yeah, I love both of those. Yeah, and I love wine, too. So wine, food, music, and for me, horses. Wine, food, music, and horses, and I'm a happy guy.
Yeah.
So that's okay. That is all right.
All right,
we're going to get to another song. This is... Yeah. Prison Rodeo. Prison Rodeo Clown. Tell us about Prison Rodeo Clown and who wrote this one.
We're going awfully John Greenberg heavy on this rotation. I want to make sure we get one of
wow.
a couple of Mike songs.
Wow.
This song I wrote with the aforementioned Jeff Wildhorse Posey. Maybe 25 years ago, I was in a group called the Panhandlers back then out of Oklahoma. And we put this in, it was part of a trilogy, and this was like part three, but I always wanted, I wasn't the singer back then, and I wanted to, you know, do a version of it that was kind of my own and have the guys, you know, Mike, of course, played great mandolin on there, and, you know, Arthur's got some really solid percussion work and everything, and Kurt Bomber's our fiddle player, and shout out to him, too. So that's kind of the background of this song.
All right, it's a great song. It's Prison Rodeo Clown. We'll be back in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe, heard around the world on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Just got out today, he survived at 30. Charlie swears he's coming clean, forgot the whole world's dirty. He hocked himself a promise ring, swore she'd wait forever. I guess you never ought to trade shiny golden leather. Charlie, keep both your head and your engine on. Sure been good to see you, though we know you can't stay long. You're bound to get 8 second chances to make the next go round. You'll be back before they find another prison rodeo clown. Charlie took a job today, he wants to buy a Chevy. Work is hard to pay his light, his heart and mind are heavy. Charlie took home just enough without a dime left over. He wants a Chevy yesterday and he won't wait forever.
can't stay long. You're gonna get eight second chances to make the next go round. You'll be back before they find another prison rodeo clown. Catch me. Charlie almost made it all the way to Mexico. Wrong turn on the turnpike, a roadblock on the road. Charlie, keep both your head and your engine on. Sure been good to see you, though we know you can't stay long. You're bound to get 8 second chances to make the next go round. You'll be back before they find another prison rodeo clown. Oh, you'll be back before they find another prison rodeo clown.
Rodeo Clown from the album The Outlaw Firm, and we're talking with them today, John M. Greenberg, Mike Blakely, and John Arthur Martinez. And so, Mike, it's your turn. For our listening audience around the world that may not have caught you on some of our other shows, tell us a little bit about how you got started into music and some of your history.
Yeah, well, I'm a son of a musician myself. My dad, Doc Blakely, is 90 years old and still playing fiddle and having a good time with it. And when I was a kid, my dad played fiddle, guitar, banjo, mandolin, and the musical saw. And when I was 8 years old, he taught me the guitar chords for, at age eight, he taught me the guitar chords for Red River Valley, my first song to learn. And after that, I was in the high school garage band, where we played country music, rock music, and every other oldie and brand new songs and all sorts of things. And just progressed from there until I moved to the Marble Falls area, met John Arthur Martinez. And I'd been writing songs at that point, but I really got serious about writing the more of the writing of the songs rather than playing cover tunes, because of John Arthur was doing the same thing. And so we collaborated on a bunch of songs. And next thing you know, John Greenberg moves to town, and 25 years later, we're the Outlaw Firm. So that's how that whole thing worked out. But this new thing we got is, like I said, it's been 25 or 30 years in the making, but it feels like a new thing, and we're having a lot of fun with it. We've released our first album, which you've been playing. We're working on the second album. And if anybody wants to go on our music cruise out of Galveston in January, we would love to have y'all on the Outlaw Firm cruise. I mean, what's more fun than a cruise? A music cruise.
Oh, wow.
So anybody who's interested, go to MikeBlakely.com and scroll down on my homepage until you see the Outlaw Firm logo, and there's a link there. And it leaves January 5th out of Galveston, and it goes as far south as Belize City and Cozumel, Costa Maya, and we're going to have a great time with about who knows how many. We've got at least 60, 70 fans going with us already, and we'd love to have some more folks sign up.
Oh, that's awesome. That is
awesome. Yeah, go
awesome.
To MikeBlakely.com.
That is awesome. MikeBlakely.com. Well, you also have another member of your family that's pretty musical, and who is that young lady?
Are you talking about my wife, Annie Blakely?
Of course.
I could be.
Yeah, Annie and I write songs together, and she's a beautiful singer, does great harmonies, and that's one of the, we've been married 13 years, and that's one of the things that brought us together. We both have journalism degrees. We're both writers, and we both love music. That those are, and horses, and those are some of the things that brought us together. And she's a real estate gal now, and having a good run of luck there too. So, Annie Blakely comes out to as many of my shows and sings with me whenever she can.
She's great. So, real quickly, tell us this, because I think this is so cool. Tell us the story about how you and Annie met.
Yeah, well, in Fredericksburg, Texas, Annie's dad owned a music store, and he was a big supporter of mine. And at this time, I didn't even know that Annie existed because she was living in Arizona. But her father, Randy, was a good friend of mine, a supporter of my music festival I was doing back then, a sponsor, and just a great guy. And then he was opening a second music store in the town of Kerrville. And I asked John Arthur Martinez to come down there and help me do the grand opening for Randy. And we were just doing it. You know, we didn't ask for any money. We just wanted to help him because he had helped us so much over the years, selling our CDs in his stores and promoting our events. So John Arthur and I were playing in the grand opening for the second music store. And there was this beautiful young woman taking these pictures with a Nikon camera. And I just had to, you know, tell her after the show. I was a single guy at the time, and she didn't have a ring on her finger. And I said, hey, if you get any good shots of me, would you please send them, you know? Hint, hint. And I gave her my card. And we became pen pals over through the email, and one thing led to another. And now we've been married for 13 years and a half, 13 and a half.
Oh, wow. Well, I love that story. I love that story. Well, you were talking just a minute ago about how you had started doing more writing. And so do the three of you write together? Mike, tell us, do you write together?
We do. John Arthur and I, like I mentioned earlier, have been writing together for 30 years. When John Greenberg came to town, well, of course, we all wrote together also. But we're concentrating a little bit more on that now that we're an official trio. And one of the songs on the new album is something we co-wrote just because we needed a 10th song. So, yes, the answer is yes. And we also co-write with other people in this Central Texas area where we live. Fredericksburg, Marble Falls, and this whole area is just full of talent with musicians and some good songwriters that we collaborate with as well. But the answer to your question is yes, we do co-write.
So, John M., what is your writing process like? Do you have a time that you sit down and write? Do you have a time that you get together with people and co-write, or how does that work for you?
That's a loaded question. I have no set process. What normally happens is I'll have some ideas, and I'll you know, get maybe a melody in my head, no words yet, or I'll get a lyric and no melody yet, and I'll just jot things down. And then when I have enough stuff, I'll go to a nearby town where I don't know anybody or there's nothing to do. I'll get a hotel room, leave the gun at home, and just go out there and just start writing until I finish. I started doing this back about 20 years ago, and I'd finished some of my more listenable songs. I don't want to say my best songs. They're all like my kids, you know, but they're
right.
Songs that people tend to request, or some of the best ones were ones that I'd done in hotel rooms out in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, I'll reward myself by go getting a nice barbecue lunch or something like that. But once, you know, when I finish two or three of them, I'll come home and then I'll playing for Mike. In fact, some of the ones that are going to go on the brand new Outlaw Firm project, which we should have by the cruise. We've been recording over the last month, and we've got, you know, some more work to do. But there's at least they're on there. John Arthur came up with both of those, and we just kind of were his closers. But another one that Mike and I wrote together is on there. A second one that Mike and I wrote together that I've never recorded, but it's an older song. It's got a little bluesier song that never really fit on any of my stuff. That's on there. So the process can always change. It's never exactly one thing, but I guess the bottom line is when I get enough material where I feel like I can, you know, close in on it myself, I'll go in there and do it. Or if I'm working with other people, you know, they'll come out here. I live on 6 acres. And we'll just, you know, sit outside and pop open a thing of wine and finish some songs out here. And it's just it's a great atmosphere to do that. So, you know, very scenic and inspiring place to live.
That's cool. Well, John Arthur, what about you? What is your process like? Because, again, I talk to songwriters and singers all the time. The songwriters all have a different process. Some up come with the lyrics. Some come with the melody. Some people wait for a hook. Some people have set times that they write. So tell us about your process.
Well, I'm probably one of those that takes some of the real life episodes that I've had and I turn them into songs. I do that more than I would leaning on some hook. And I'm not selling those songwriters short, but for me, I live a lot of these songs and it makes it easier to sell the song, so to speak, on the stage. And these two guys, on top of being great musicians and great harmony singers, two of the songs on the album, for example, one of them was based out of something I did back in college when I was playing Shakespeare in Twelfth Night. I was playing Sebastian.
Oh, wow.
in Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, and was so. The song Hometown Tragedy is one that Mike Blakely and John Greenberg helped me write, and we just stayed up all night drinking wine till we finished it. And then, well, actually, that's not quite true. The Ink Is Always Blue followed that process. The Hometown Tragedy actually followed a similar process, but then we went on the Pagosa Springs and finished it along the river the next day. So each song has its own path in the way we write. And I think I can speak for the both of these guys that I don't think we have a process. Although there was a time when Mike Blakely had this cool cabin in Burnett County on an Indian mound underneath some beautiful oaks, and we would go meet there and write on Monday nights. And that produced a lot of great songs for us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's so interesting. Mike, do you do any writing by yourself?
I do. Like John Arthur, some of my songs are from something personal that happened to me. But I'm also comfortable. You know, my day job is I write novels. I'm working on it's my 19th now. And I have a publisher and been lucky to have a career there too. But so I'm not afraid of writing fiction in a song either. And I'll come up with a song that has nothing to do with me, or it might be a historical Western kind of song or just anything else where I see a fictional story that needs a song wrapped around it. So that's two of the different ways I write songs. And sometimes with me, it usually seems like an idea comes out that's, like you mentioned, Gary, it could be the hook of the song, or it might just be a line that ends up in the middle of the song. But when those words come to me, it almost always has a melody attached to it, the beginning of a melody. And I kind of just start from there. And when I'm writing alone, I just start from there and let it develop, you know, over the days or weeks or even months sometime. But when we're co-writing, we tend to crank out songs a little faster than that because we're all together and the ideas are flying down the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
interesting because, you know, here in Nashville, there's a lot of co-writing that goes on. So Mary Kay, as you know, Mike, is a singer and songwriter and has been an award-winning singer-songwriter. And so she normally wrote by herself. She had written some co-writes in the past, but when you come to Nashville, it seems like everybody gets together and they co-write, and they even have set times that they do it. So it's just interesting to me to find out the different ways that people, it also amazes me sometimes to watch people go through that process, because I don't know how you guys can be so talented. You never know. You never know. Well, I'm going to get to another song. This one is called Where the Bridges Burn. So who wrote this song?
This song, we needed a 10th song on our first album. This is Mike speaking. And we decided to record somebody else's song. We got a good friend of ours, Jake Martin, who's younger than us, but extremely talented, just gifted poet kind of songwriter. And he wrote this song. So it's a Jake Martin song, Where the Bridges Burn.
Where the Bridges Burn is great. And by the way, you guys are going to have to start talking. Stop talking about age, because I'm older than all of you and have a birthday coming up. We just don't want to go there. We just don't want to go there. But this is Where the Bridges Burn. It's the Outlaw Firm. We'll be back.
Such a rush. It don't take long, I don't own that much. I stood up and I set my crutch down where the bridges burn. Highways change when the clouds fall in. Pull into town where the lights are dim. Close the blinds on a where the bridges burn. Thinking twice about turning round. Thoughts are measured pound for pound. I'm always one to stand my ground. Down where the bridges burn. I paid that toll man without a word. I tame wings to a broken bird. Tried to sing but cannot be heard. Where the bridges burn. The world is frozen outside this room. Going nowhere no time soon. But the ice it melts underneath the moon. Where the bridges. Thinking twice about turning round. Thoughts are measured pound for pound. I'm always one to stand my ground. Down where the bridges burn. Start the fire with the circumstance where the bridges burn. Pack my bags in such a rush. Don't take long, I don't own that much. I stood up and I set my crutch down where the bridges burn. Where the bridges burn. Down where the bridges burn.
another great song from the album, The Outlaw Firm, and we are talking with the Outlaw Firm, John M. Greenberg, Mike Blakely, and John Arthur Martinez. And I'm glad that you guys decided not to sound like a law firm with those names. So the Outlaw Firm is fitting. I like it. You know, I was thinking a little bit earlier today, there are certain songs that are just classics. And one of them is Marty Robbins' El Paso. You know, Gary McMahon's The Old Double Diamond. Mike, you have written a song that I don't know how many times I have played this, and we're not going to play it today. But Don't Ever Sell Your Saddle is, to me, a song that really should be one of those classics. I love that song.
Well, I'm glad you like it. I co-wrote that with my friend Damon Rogers, who came up with the idea, and we cranked it out mainly over the telephone.
It is great. So do you guys write in live and in person when you three are writing together? Do you write in person, or do you do Zoom, or do you do it? How do you do it? Do you get together?
I'll give you a short answer. We're almost always together in the same room, but John and Johnny might have a different take on that.
Yeah, typically we write when we're on the road. The last two songs we cranked out together, we were on a kind of a Fort Worth, Dallas bender. And then the last one we were out, Mike put together a tour for us out in Southern Colorado. And that's when we finished the second one that we did all three together. And I foresee more of that coming. It's a great process. John Arthur brought both of those ideas to us and just, you know, felt like we had something to add either musically or lyrically. And fortunately we did. And, I'm always grateful when someone, you know, thinks enough of you that they want you to be part of their creation, that they started somewhere in their heart or somewhere like that. So, yeah. Thanks, Johnny.
Well, you're welcome. And this is John Arthur Martinez, and I just wanted to say that I'm glad you played Where the Bridges Burn because I really love I'm the one who has the recording studio that recorded the guitars and the vocals and it's hard for me to do the drums as well as we do at another drum studio in Houston, but Mike Blakely and John Greenberg both delivered two of my favorite vocals that they recorded on that song. And so anyway, I'm glad you played that one.
Well, it's a great song and I enjoy it. So I've got to ask you real quickly, and we're starting to run out of time. I talked to Riders in the Sky. They've been on the show several times. And so they have lasted together over 40 years. And I think you said you guys have been together for about 25. So the way that they have lasted for over 40 years is that they never stay in the same room together when they're on the road. How about you guys? You have your individual rooms you share room.
We usually stay in the same bed. We don't have these big budgets like Rider in the Sky. We'll double up or in a queen size bed, and the other guy, we kind of rotate. We do the over under method with the sheet, so there's no touchy feely. But for the most
part, we
get one room unless the benefactor, like we're playing a house concert like this on this Glass Colorado tour, where you have an 8-bedroom home and we each get to take 2 bedrooms each, then it's perfect. But other than
there, you go. That's cool.
We'll share a bed.
I always bring my cowboy.
All right. I just had to ask. gosh. Well, you guys have been absolutely great. And yes, sir.
Oh, I just want to say that very quickly, the Riders in the Sky have a proper perspective for band members who've been together that long. That's a smart thing. I can say that from having my own band. That's a very smart thing. But anyway,
we have proven that we can Gary, we've proven that we can tour together for 2 weeks without killing each other. So I think we're going to last.
That's good. That's good. Well, I look forward to having you guys back. Look forward to the new album that you're working on, and look forward to having you back, and have a great cruise. I think that's just so cool that you're doing the Outlaw Firm cruise. And so Mike Blakely, give us, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you didn't have Mike's website, if you want to go on the cruise, you can also call our travel agent. Her name is Lenora. And you can reach her at 419-492-4368. And since I was in radio at one point, I always repeat the phone number, 419-492-4368.
Nice. There you go. Everybody's out rushing to get a pencil right quick. That's great. That is great. Well, listen, have a great cruise, and look forward to having you guys back again. You guys have been a lot of fun, and look forward to the new music. So I'm going to close out this segment with another song from the album, The Outlaw Firm. And this one is called One Last Ride. Tell us about this one, Mike Blakely, because I think you've got the lead on this.
Yeah, I'm glad you're going to play that one. The lyrics were written by Duke Davis. And Duke has been a cowboy and a horse trainer and a musician most of his adult life. And I've known him and worked with him. And a few years ago, his doctors told him the chemo wasn't working and he had a number of weeks to live. And that's when he wrote this poem. He wrote it as a poem called One Last Ride, and he asked me to put a melody to it. The happy ending is that Duke Davis is a walking, talking cowboy miracle, and he beat the odds. He and his wife
did the great
power of prayer and a new diet. Healthy diet. He's doing great, still playing music. So this is lyrics by Duke Davis, melody by me.
All right. Well, it is a great song. This is One Last Ride. We'll be back in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Well, I was just a button. I was molded by the best to be a man of sage and prairie. I grew tough with every test. I rode the Bronx and the wild ones with quirt, rein, and saddle. I sure enough was a puncher, boys, who could rope, hang, and rattle. I knew the bovine and the equine, well versed in western ways. I learned the good Lord needs a point man to gather in his strays. It takes more to make a man than just the rough ones that he's rode. A feller's got to learn to live and die by cowboy code. Be kind to kids and horses. To a lady, tip your hat. Look a man eye to eye. Leave the gate where it was at. Thank the good Lord every day for the chance to live outside. And remember, there will come a day when you take one last ride. One last ride, when will I make it? One last ride, where will I take it? Your life is your own story. Your eternal ride to glory. One last ride. One last ride. Feed your mouth before yourself. Read the good book now and then. Always help your neighbor. Wear a smile for all your friends. Don't cinch your horse too tight or ride with a heavy hand. Be a man who keeps his word. Always ride for the brand. We only get one chance at life, so try to get it right. It's hard to turn a wild stampede in the darkness of the night. Ride straight and tall, my friends. Play the hand that you've been dealt. Be worth your weight in salt, not just a buckle on a belt. It's the passing of the mantle, all things from dust to dust. My rig hangs in the saddle house, my spurs have turned to rust. I know my time is coming, I feel it deep inside. So jingle in the horses, boys, it's time for one last ride. One last ride, where will I take it? One last ride, where will I make it? Your life is your own story, your eternal ride to glory. One last ride, one last ride, one last ride, one last ride.
It's time now for Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. When we come back, we'll be traveling to the Cumberland Plateau of East Tennessee to visit with Honey Creek Horse Cab. Stay with us. This is Gary Holt inviting you to find our great sponsors on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Those are the sponsors you'll find in the general store, our Legacy Select Horse Campgrounds and Guest Ranches, east of Santa Fe, and our Legacy Select Equestrian Properties. You'll find all of these sponsors on our website at equestrianlegacy.net.
There's a dream for sale, but the price is high. There's a dream and me, the gems won't die. When the sun sinks down low in the western sky, I began to dream. I began to cry, and it's calling, calling, and it's calling to me. There's a letter written deep in my soul, I wonder, let be delivered before I'm too old. Riding a fine horse through new country tonight, and the dream gets stronger as the years hurry by, and it's calling, calling. Yes, it's calling to me. When it's moonlight and shadows, that's my cowboy time. I dream of a life that could never, oh no, never. This island of rain, I close my eyes and I'm there again. Riding a fine horse through Montana tonight, and the dream will stay with me till the day that I die. And it's cold.
calling to me.
Welcome back to Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. That was our good friend, Mr. Clint Bradley in London, his song, Fine Horse. We're going to be visiting right now with the owner of Honey Creek Horse Camp, Mr. Bryce Smith in Allert, Tennessee. Hey, Bryce, how are you?
Good, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you.
Hope things are cooler there than they are here.
102 is what it's supposed to be in Nashville today, so no, it's not, I'm sure. What's your temperature up in Allert today?
I haven't even looked, but it's steamy out there this morning, though, so I've been hanging out here in the office waiting for some campers to come in. So.
Oh, gosh. I think that I heard yesterday this is the third over 100-degree day here in Nashville, Tennessee, and we have set records for the number of days over 90 degrees, and we have set records for the number of days over 95 degrees. So, man, I'm telling you what, I'm ready for fall.
Ready for fall and the trail riding.
Well, I'm going to just say right now to our audience that's listening all around the world, that if you want to do any trail riding east of the Mississippi, there is no better place to be than up around the big South Fork National Park in Jamestown in Allert, Tennessee. And that is just absolutely gorgeous riding. And we're so happy to have Bryce with us today to tell us all about Honey Creek and all the trail riding that they have there. And so, Bryce, how long have you two owned Honey Creek?
Well, believe it or not, we're going on 7 years here in October. So it's gone by fast, but man, it's been a blast. So it's beautiful up here and we love it here. So,
well, tell us a little bit about the campground itself and what kind of sites that you've got and your facilities that are there.
We've got 42 campsites. Everything's got electric and water here, and I've got 7 sites. Since we moved here, we put sewer on, so we've got a few full hookup sites. And we added a couple more cabins, so now we've got 3 cabins total. The thing with our cabins is we don't have any water in them. You'd have to use a shower house, but they're heated and cooled and got 2 queen beds in there and coffee pot, microwave, refrigerator, table and chairs. So about everything you need to come camping. So, and we got some park style charcoal grills outside of the cabins. We've got 65 covered stalls. I've got 25 newer ones I built that are 12 by 12, and then I've got 40 older, smaller 8 by 8 stalls. And I've got a bunch of 12 by 12 round pens, and I've got a projected new barn area that depend on how the economy goes here. I'm hoping within the next year to have another barn up with another, hopefully 14, 12 by 12 stalls there. So, we've got enough room to stick a horse in a pen or a covered stall now. So it used to be a lot of high ties, you know, or the hitching post, you know, and stuff, but, everybody likes to have a covered stall. So I've been working on trying to get more covered stalls and stuff. So, it's a full-time job for me.
I bet it is. Well, I've got to ask, were you two trail riders before you moved to the Big South Fork and Honey Creek?
We were. We lived in the Midwest, and we went to South Dakota a lot, and we got married out there riding horses and camping. I wanted somewhere, we both wanted somewhere where the winters were a little bit easier and not as much wind, you know.
Yeah.
Up there in Iowa, there's not a whole lot to stop the wind. So we moved down here, and we came down here several years before we bought the place and bought our first aluminum horse trailer, and that's kind of what got us on to Tennessee and how beautiful it was.
Oh, wow.
And I was always on the internet looking at horse properties, dreaming, you know, and it was Big South Fork always came up, and just happened to run into, there was a couple campgrounds for sale at the time, but I found this one, and we just kind of come down on a whim with some friends that had their daughter in Nashville. And, of course, I didn't think my wife would ever move us out of Iowa, you know, and we had all the kids out of the house, and she said, if you're going to move me, now is the time to do it. So, boy, we up and sold everything and moved down here. So, and it's been great. We don't have any regrets. So,
that's fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, it is a beautiful area, and talk about Allert, Tennessee. If I'm not mistaken, Bryce, they have some kind of a big pumpkin festival there in Allert, don't they?
They do. The first weekend in October is the Pumpkin Fest. They have it's Saturday all day long. They have vendors and then they have the contest for the biggest pumpkin, things like that. So it's every year, the first weekend in October. So my wife goes into it. I'm usually out here trying to hold the fort down, but she goes into it.
She
and
got you working
it, so.
While she's visiting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you,
we're
out here. It's nice and quiet out here. It's like a slice of heaven. I kind of hate to leave it. So.
That's pretty nice. Well, there's so many different things that are happening throughout that area, and I think didn't they just have. What is it? The 127? Is it the 127 yard sale that runs through how many seven or eight states?
Yeah,
it comes right through there.
That's like the first weekend in August. So,
yeah, there's just a lot of activities going on throughout the area, and your horse campground is phenomenal. I've been there. It's been several years ago since I was there, but you just mentioned that you and your wife got married on horseback.
Well, we were in South Dakota camping at the time. We actually didn't get married on horseback, but we got married in South Dakota while we were there on vacation. But that was 12 hours from Iowa going that direction, and then we ended up moving 12 hours this direction just so we could have a little better winter weather. So,
Well, I've got to tell you, Bryce. So I've always been a horse guy. I've always had horses. When I married my wife, Mary Kay, our anniversary is coming up October the 7th. It will be 4 years. And so she is from Utah, and I moved her back to Nashville. But when we got married 4 years ago, she was still in Utah. And one of the things that I wanted to do was to go horseback riding on our honeymoon. And so we went horseback riding throughout the Big South Fork on our honeymoon. And a friend of ours, Larry McMillan, I don't know if you know Larry up there.
Yeah, I know Larry.
He rented a house for us. Yeah, he rented a house for us in Allert from Luanda Gurnt. And you probably know Luanda as well.
We spent our honeymoon.
Yeah, we spent our honeymoon right there in Allert, Tennessee, and riding in the back Big South Fork. And so beautiful, beautiful, beautiful area to ride in. But tell us just a little bit about what people can come and do and see when they come up to stay with you at Honey Creek Horse Camp. Tell us a little bit about the park and the areas that you have to ride in.
When we were looking at the campground, I read a lot of reviews because we hadn't even rode here before. That's why everybody asked us, well, you just found it while you're riding? And I was like, well, no, we never even rode there before. And they said, you bought a horse camp without riding there? And I said, well, I read a lot of reviews. And what everybody had to say about the Honey Creek location was it was central located to a lot of the O&W Bridge, Needle's Eye, and you didn't have to travel very far to see beautiful destinations, you know. So I went off a lot of what people had reviews on it and spoke highly of it, you know. So and I'm glad I did because I don't have any regrets. I believe what they said, and I think it's one of the nicest locations. Not that, you know, the other side of the park's got a lot of beautiful things, too, that I haven't even taken time to go see yet. But The O&W Bridge from our place is about a 7 mile one-way ride. Needle's Eye or Hole in the Ridge, the locals call it out back here, is about 3.5 miles. And that's where you tie up and walk a path down and around and take a wooden ladder down to the bottom section, and the hole goes through the ridge out the back there. Beautiful spot to, you know, take lunch and spend a lot of time there looking around. Got several overlooks at the O&W along the North White Oak Creek, big rock bluffs up there. It's just beautiful. You know, tree riding. I love to be in the trees. I don't like to be out in the open riding in the sun.
Me too.
And here, you're shaded all, you know, even when it's warm here, you can go out and still have a nice ride and not be exposed to the sun, you know. So that's what I really like about it.
One of the things that's different about the area there is that there are arches throughout that area. You were talking about Needle's Eye. There are arches that you can't find out in the east until you go west. You know, you'll see some arches out in the west, but you can't find those except in your area. And just such beautiful scenery. And you were talking about the O&W. I love to ride that trail down through there. And then the bridge that's out there. I haven't done the bridge yet because I don't like heights too much. But it's just... Now, I will go to the overlooks and look at the overlooks, but I'm not going to get too close to the edge of those things either, by the way.
I've got a few people that way too. There'll be some come in and they'll ask me about the bridge, and they think it's like a swinging bridge or something, and I'll kid with them. I say, well, you can only get 3 horses on at a time because it gets to swinging pretty hard, and they get to laughing. And I said, no, you can drive a car across it. So I said, you'll be fine. It creaks a little bit when you walk on it, but it's fine. So.
Yeah, I'm just not one of those guys that love any kind of height at all. And, if I get on a ladder, I don't want to look down. So it's kind of the way I am, just a little bit.
Yeah.
But, So what other type of facilities that you have? You talked about your campsites and your stalls. What other type of facilities and what other kind of activities that are going on there at Honey Creek?
So we've got an office building here and we've got apparel, hats and T-shirts, sweatshirts. Then we've got shower house right next to it. We've got 3 showers and 3 toilets on each side. So never have a problem with having hot water here. So far, everything's worked out good. I've got a place for the horses. You can take them and bathe them off, you know, when you're done riding. I keep shavings on hand. You know, if you don't bring any, you can purchase them here from me. I make my own ice, so I have ice on hand all the time, and I usually have firewood on hand. And normally towards fall, I keep hay on hand for October. We get really busy in October. Everybody wants to see the color change, and some will come and stay in for a week or so, you know, need some extra hay here and there. So
where do people come from when they come to your facility? So how far away do they come?
I've had them Texas, you know, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Canada. Like this spring, I had some that were wintered in Florida, and they stopped through here on the way back to Canada. And
oh wow!
So, I mean, I get a lot of Michigan, Iowa, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana. So I get a lot of repeat customers, campers that come down a couple holidays. So every holiday weekend here, we have live music on Saturday night usually. And I've got a big smoker, so I usually smoke something. Or like this coming weekend, we're going to have I don't know if you've ever heard of them, I'll see, Walking Tacos. Have you ever heard of a Walking Taco?
I have not, but I'm interested. Yeah, tell us about Walker Taco.
Well, you get a small bag of Doritos, you know, your little handheld bags or whatever you want to call them, lunch bags, and you crunch them up, open it up, and then you put a little scoop of taco meat in there, and then throw your cheese and sour cream and salsa or whatever in there, and take a fork and you eat it right out of the bag. So that's a walking taco.
Oh, wow. 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 Oh, wow. So my wife is going to have to listen to the show so she can do that recipe. That sounds like that would be fun. That would be fun.
Yeah.
But this is Labor Day weekend, so it should be just a great weekend for folks to come up if they want to come up and ride and stay with you there. That'd be kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, I've got quite a few
the
coming in today.
Is supposed to drop a little bit. Temperature's supposed to drop. We're supposed to be in the 80s when we get into Sunday and Monday, for the holidays. So that's kind of a welcome relief. That is.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of tough for people to try to get out and ride when the temperatures are over 100 degrees. And the heat index is way on up there. I'm going to take a quick break, Bryce, and take a listen to a song from another good friend, a couple of friends of ours, Kristen Harris and Devin Dawson. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about Honey Creek and how people can find you and make reservations. You're listening to Saddle Up America, heard around the world on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I rolled into the roundup on the last train. I saved a seat for you, but you weren't there. Where were you?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you how I went in the day before. Took your feller to the dance. Hope you don't care.
What would I care?
That's what cowgirl friends are for.
You went where?
That's what cowgirl friends are for.
You did what?
One cowgirl friend like you, and I don't need any more. That's what cowgirl friends are for.
Well, I was mighty tired from all that dancing.
I'll bet you were. And your trick ride was a mess.
Yeah, it was mighty kind of you to shine it for me.
Wasn't that nice? I mistook floor wax for your saddle soap, I guess.
That was pretty slick.
That's what cowgirl friends are for.
Is different from militia.
why you're my favorite cowgirl friend. That's what cowgirl friends are for.
Loyalty.
I gotta go. That's what cowgirl friends are for. Loyalty.
One cowgirl friend like you, and I don't need any more.
One cowgirl friend like you, and I wouldn't want one more. That's what cowgirl friends are.
Kristen Harris and Devin Dawson, cowgirl friend. And it's kind of interesting. Bryce, Kristen, and her husband, Aram, are in Texas. And they stopped by to see us a few months ago. And it's a challenge to have a Texan come in and say they like brisket here in Tennessee. But I took them to a barbecue restaurant, and they love the brisket. So we passed the test for them. We passed the test.
That's
kind of cool.
That's good. Yeah.
That is kind of cool. Well, we've got Labor Day weekend coming up. We've got a lot of activities going to be taking place. You have music that's going to be going on there at Honey Creek for this weekend?
We do, Saturday night. Yep. I got two fellows from town that come out and play the guitar and sing. And we usually have something cooked. Like, say, we're doing walking tacos this weekend. And but the same two guys most time I have out here, they do quite a mix of music, a lot of the old country and stuff. And the neighbors come in, and some people dance, some people just sit around and listen to the good music. And we always have a good time, though.
Well, there is nothing that I enjoy better than being out on some beautiful trails, seeing some beautiful country, and then coming back and sitting down in front of the trailer or the cabin with a glass of wine and enjoy a good meal. And when you add the entertainment, just a plus. So that sounds like a ball to come up that way. So busy, busy time of year. October is always great because Tennessee is absolutely gorgeous. This time of year, the colors get to be gorgeous as well. And the Big South Fork is one of the prettiest places in the part of the country to get out and ride. So great, 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 great opportunity to come out to Honey Creek Horse Camp in Allard, Tennessee. By the way, for folks that are not familiar with Allard and the Jamestown area, what's the closest big city to you guys?
Well,
I guess Crossville?
Crossville will be bigger than Jamestown. It's 50 to 55 miles, depending on where you're going. And then Cookeville will be about 65 miles.
Okay. All right. So I come out there, I just take Interstate 40 and just head right up Interstate 40 east and then normally get off in either Monterey or you could get off in Crossville, I guess. And what is that, that 127 that comes from Crossville all the way up to Jamestown and take a right to go to Allard, and you're right there.
Yep, yep, yep. So, yeah, a lot of people get off at 301, in Monterey, and then bring 62 across and then hit 127 and come up to us. Or you can go up to Crossville, like you say, and hit 127 and bring it straight up to us.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yep.
There is so much to see and do all in that part of the country. And while you were talking about getting off in Monterey and coming up through there, I always love to stop at Muddy Pond and see everything that they've got in Muddy Pond and visit with the Amish there and great food. My gracious days. Stop and eat with the Amish. And then they've got a great theater and a park there in Crossville, Tennessee. So there's just so much to see and do in your part of the country. And for folks that want to come and camp and stay with you, they're not but about an hour away from all of those different things to go and see and do. So for our folks that are listening around the world and in different places, head up to Jamestown, Tennessee and Allard, Tennessee, because I think that is some of the best trail riding that you're going to experience and the best hospitality as well in the eastern part of the United States up there. So, Bryce, what else am I not asking you about that you'd like to tell us about?
Well, you, talking about the Muddy Pond, that we'll get, you know, quite a few people come here for a week, you know, week to 10 days even sometimes. And they'll take a day or 2 days off. You know, they'll ride a day or two and then take a day off, and they'll go hit the Muddy Pond and all the tack shops and look around. You know, there, like I say, there's a lot to see. Nothing super close, but that's a nice part of our country here is, you know, we're out here where it's nice and quiet, and you got to drive a few miles to go see something, you know, but it's not as far as you think it is. There's so much to
see.
That's
right.
And even like in the summertime, when it starts warming up, they'll come here and ride for a few days. And then down the road, about 6 miles, there's what they call Burnt Mill Bridge. And that's Clear Fork, one of the rivers that make the Cumberland River up here in the Convergent. They'll go down there and get in the water and cool off after they take a ride, or they'll just take the whole day off and go sit in the water and relax, you know. So that's what all vacation's for, is to come and relax. So
that's right. That's right. And, you know, you can go canoeing and hiking and fishing all right there, as well as do some great trail riding. And this is Honey Creek Horse Camp right there in Allert, Tennessee. So, Bryce, give us your website. How can people find you and how they can make reservations with you guys? Because it sounds like the fall is coming and it is going to be the time to head up your way.
So, reservations, we don't do any on the website anymore. You can go to our Face LLC and you can send a message to me and we can relay it through there, or you can just give me a call. Which the camp number is 931-879-9950. And that rings to my cell phone, which I'll call you back on, which is everybody gets confused because it's an Iowa cell phone from where I moved from. So it'll come up a 515 number. So a lot of times I have to leave a message and they'll call me back then, like say, you can go on the website, and look at pictures and look at our campground stuff, or you can go to our, Facebook page, you know, and there's pictures and everything of the cabins and campground and stuff on there. So, but it's best just to call me.
Well, I'm going to encourage people to go to the website and get the information there. Also on Facebook, but Honey Creek Horse Camp LLC, that's all in Allert, Tennessee, not very far from Nashville or Knoxville, wherever you're coming from. And beautiful, beautiful campground, beautiful country, much to see and do. And we're going to encourage you to do that. And I think I'm going to have to come up there and try some of those walking tacos.
Well, you come on up. We have plenty for you.
I got it. All right. I got to put that on my list. Well, you have been a great guest, Bryce. We appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and look forward to seeing you up there in that part of the country sometime pretty soon. Thank you so much.
Sounds good, Gary. Thanks, Gary. Thank you.
All right. You're so welcome. We're going to take a listen to a great song from Miss Mickey Furman right now called Blue Prairie, and we'll be back in just a moment on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. Bryce, thanks so much.
Size of a night wind falls.
Our good friend, Miss Mickey Furman, with her great song, Blue Prairie. Well, it has been a fun show today. Great to visit with the Outlaw Firm, Mr. John Greenberg, Mike Blakely, and John Arthur Martinez. And we look forward to having them back on the show and sharing music from their new album sometime after the first of the year. Great, great guys to visit with, and look forward to having them back. And then it was so much fun talking with Bryce about the Honey Creek Horse Camp in Allert, Tennessee. One of the most beautiful parts of the country to do any trail riding in is up in the Big South Fork of East Tennessee. And we appreciate him taking the time to share information about that facility with us. Well, it has been fun. We have a great show lined up for you this coming Tuesday on Live from Nashville. So be sure and tune in for that with my co-host, my lovely wife, Mary Kay Hope, will be joining me. And then back again next Thursday for the Campfire Cafe and Saddle Up America. And we're going to close things out today with a great song from Rex Allen Jr., Rex Allen, and Roy Rogers. This is The Last of the Silver Screen Cowboys. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to tune in next week for the Campfire Cafe and Saddle Up America.
Last of the silver screen cowboys, last of a fast dying breed, cattle a-grazing, six guns a-blazing, God knows this is what America still needs. The last of the silver screen cowboys, standing tall for what he believes is right. Don't push him around, there's more than one villain's found that he don't back down from a fight.
Slipped away before we knew it, and you little wranglers put up your play guns and your toys. But memories don't die, and we're still riding high.
We're the last of the silver screen cowboys.